Hello and welcome to the Enjoy Church podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. We hope this message empowers, equips, and helps you become everything God has called you to be. Enjoy the message.
Well, I want to share with you this morning, if we can go to your Bibles, or we'll pull it up on the screen, out of 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 14. I love the house of God. I got to say, I love the sense of leaning here. You guys are good. Just say hi if you're with me right now. I know that was like a long little detour for a while. But it's awesome to be in the house of God. I love it when His power is flowing. So 2 Kings, I want to preach about, my message is entitled, Have Another Look. Have Another Look. When I was 21 years old and living with my best mate, his little sister used to come around and visit us all the time. Her name was Danielle. And she would come around to hang out with her big brother. But actually, unbeknownst to me, she had a crush on me. I like to say she's only human. But actually, it was probably God being merciful to me because He knew I needed this girl. And so we became good friends because she was my best mate's little sister. And I was praying for a wife while she was coming around hanging out. I was one of those guys. How many of guys have we got in the house who have friend zoned people before? Actually, that's not a put your hand up moment, is it? And so I've had this moment with a friend, another one of my flatmates, where I'm going through my list. I've got the list of what I'm looking for in a wife, good young Christian man, and obviously hot's right at the top. No, I mean character's right at the top. Right, character, Christ-likeness, right at the top. And I went through all the things that I was looking for. So I had my list. And then suddenly at the end of the discussion, he's like, oh, what about Danielle? And I went through the list. Intelligent, loves God, funny. And I'm like, oh my gosh, she meets everything on my list. Suddenly, and Cupid in the corner, the music started up, the arrows just bang, got me. And suddenly, I realized that this girl right in front of me wasn't just my mate's little sister. She was the potential love of my life because I had another look. Now, my wife has got a message that she calls Have Another Look, and it's to single people who've got a list that's unrealistic. Come on, all the single people with the unrealistic list. Particularly the girls. We need you to help us to get to the qualities on your list. Don't compromise on character and loving Jesus. Once character and loving Jesus. My wife wanted a blonde-haired guy with blue eyes. She didn't tell me that until we'd been married 20 years. So thankfully, she ignored her list. So I want to tell you today. I want to talk to you today about having another look, but in a whole different sort of concept. And here it is in 2 Kings chapter 6. So one night, the king of Aram sent a great army with many chariots and horses to surround the city. When the servant of the man of God got up early the next morning and went outside, there were troops, horses, and chariots everywhere. Oh, sir, what will we do now? The young man cried to Elisha. We're in a lot of trouble. We're surrounded by an army. Our circumstances are dire. Don't be afraid, Elisha told him, for there are more on our side than on theirs. Then Elisha prayed, Oh Lord, open his eyes and let him see. The Lord opened the young man's eyes, and when he looked up, he saw that the hillside around Elisha was filled with horses and chariots of fire. So he's looking at one natural realm where there's everything's going wrong. They're surrounded by this enemy who wants to come after them. And he's freaking out like most of us do when things are going wrong. And he turns to Elisha, who in this instance is like a type of the Holy Spirit. When you become a Christian, the Holy Spirit comes and lives on the inside of you, and He's a guide. And he's the one who's going to prompt and guide and walk with you and I as we follow Jesus. And so the Holy Spirit's like Elisha. And the Holy Spirit in this moment to us, but in that says, you just got to look up. You just got to open your eyes. You've just got to have another look, because what's happening in the spiritual realm right now will overtake what's happening in the natural realm if you can tune into it. You just got to have another look. Now, I don't know about you, but I have this thing that happens with my wife, Danielle, where she'll send me to the kitchen to find something, all right? And I don't know what it is about the stuff in our kitchen, in our cupboards, in our fridge, but whenever she tells me to find something, it's like there's like a fridge fairy that gets in there and it covers it up. She calls it a man look. Does anyone know what a man look's about? Come on. Who's married to someone who's the king of the man look? Okay, I see those hands. All right. So I will go there and I'll go, babe, it's not there. It's not there. And I come back to her. What does she say? Have another look. So I go back. I look a little bit harder. Obviously, the fridge fairy has covered it over again, so I can't see it. And I go, and I'm like, babe, it's not there. Go back, and she's like, no, it's there. It's in the top corner on the right-hand side, just in behind this, behind the girls, you know what I'm saying? And I'll go back, I'll go, I bet you, I will, the dishes for a week, I will go back, and it's not there. She comes, she goes, have another look. I go, it's not there. She walks in, and magically, it's like this unfair thing. It just magically, it's suddenly there. This is the have another look. Well, so I want to talk to some people right now. You're facing some circumstances that at first glance are impossible. At first glance, they're overwhelming. When you look at the natural circumstances, maybe you've lost your job, maybe your business is in trouble, maybe there's a health report that's come to you that is overwhelming. Maybe something's happening in your family that you kind of, sometimes God created you with an imagination to create. However, the devil takes your imagination and steals it, and he creates it for anxiety and to take you down the worst case scenarios. But God's actually given you that imagination so you can picture what God's going to do and speak it into reality through your imagination and your words. So, but the devil will take it and he'll run it down the other track. And so often what God comes to do is he comes to tell you that's what's happening in the natural. But in the spiritual, there is more for you than against you. That you are, you might feel, I love the song, you might feel like you're surrounded by problems, but there's more who are for you than are against you. So then, well, what do I do in that sort of scenario? I had a situation like this very early on. I'm a business owner, an accounting marketing degree. We've had bought and sold a few businesses. I've kept one for about 30 years now. And God taught me how faith works through my business in the early days, in my early 20s. We had a situation where we were losing a few thousand dollars every month. And we were running out of months. Okay, you know what I'm talking about. So once we're running out, we actually got to a point where the bank went after collateral, which was my parents' house. Not a cool moment for my parents or for me. And so I'm at a small group. Come on, who goes to a friendship group right now? Come on, this is where it's at. If you don't, you've got to get in a friendship group. We're at a friendship group, and someone's just sharing a little bit out of the word, and it sparked something in me where I thought, because I'd had some promises about my business. God had said that he was going to do certain things. He'd given them, rhema words that were quickened to my heart. And so I'm waiting for God to do what God's going to do. Because he's God, he's giving me the promise. What happened is I realized that that's not how God usually works. The way God works is he goes, I give you the promise, and then I partner with you, and you speak that promise into reality. And as you speak that, the way God created the world was he framed it with his words, Hebrews tells us. And so the way God wants you to frame your world is to take the word of God, to get it in your mouth, and to speak it and to create. That's how God's created you. He's like, yeah, when you're a baby Christian, you pray, God drops it in and says, there you go. When you're new in your faith, you ask God to do something and it's like tomorrow, it's just done. I love hanging out with new Christians because that's awesome. But as you get older in your faith, God's like, now you, I want to partner with you. I want you to have the privilege of creating. I want you to have another look at what I'm saying, and then begin to partner with me. So I made a decision at this point in my business. I'm going to get there half an hour early, and I'm going to begin to speak what God said to me. I had a scripture that God had given me, a rhema word. It was out of Isaiah, and it said this, that instead of your shame and humiliation, you will have a double portion, and you'll have the wealth of nations. And so that scripture was like, oh, that's God's promise. He should do something about that. No, okay, now I'm learning he wants to do something, but through my words. So I got to work half an hour early every day, and I began to walk up and down. I'd talk about the facts, because faith doesn't ignore the facts. Faith actually stares the facts down. Faith doesn't go, oh, there's no Goliath, there's no Goliath, there's no Goliath. Faith goes, there is a Goliath. Faith looks at all the facts. stares them in the face and then says, okay, this is the facts, but the truth, the word of God is this. And so I would walk up and down. I say, Lord, we're in trouble. We're going backwards. We're running out of months. I've got no strategy. I've got no turnaround plan. I can't see how we're going to be able to change this. However, I do have a promise from you. I do have a word from you. So I began to declare the word. I said, Father, I thank you. You've told me you'll make this business successful. You've told me I'll give you a double portion. You've told me I'll give you the wealth of nations. You said instead of shame and humiliation, I'm like, I've got that part right now. So instead of that, I'll give you a double portion. So when I began to declare it, I felt like the biggest liar. Like straight away, I'm like, God, we've got a double portion. I'm speaking it. It's drooling down my chest. And something in the back of my head's going, you idiot, you don't have a double portion. But that's how faith works. Faith confronts the doubt, switches on, and begins to declare. So I just began to walk. Again, I'm declaring it. And after maybe 10 minutes of saying the word of God has power in it. The word of God in your mouth is creative. And so as I'm declaring, it's powerful. It's like a seed. It's powerful, but its power only gets released when you plant it. And your words are planting that seed. So I'm declaring it. So this is what happened over about a 6 to 8 month period in my business. No change in marketing strategy. No change in sales rep. No change in staffing. Just all the change was is me going to work half an hour early and declaring the promises of God. My business went from about $15,000, $17,000 a month sales to $25,000 to $35,000. I remember just multiple times customers just turning up who I'd never met and becoming some of my biggest customers. I could still picture it. And I'm like, what's going on here? $45,000, $65,000, $75,000 a month in a process of 6 to 8 months. And all that happened was I had another look at who was for me, and I agreed to partner with what God was saying. I want to encourage somebody today, it's time for you to take another look and to get the promise off the shelf and to begin to declare the promise. I remember when Danielle was pregnant with one of our kids, she had deficiency in iron levels, deficiency in thyroid levels, and she couldn't take medication. And so we just made this decision. Every day we're going to declare strength. Every day we're going to declare her iron levels will increase. Now she's a nurse and she knew that it wouldn't change unless she had some kind of treatment. So we knew the only way this would change was what? With a word from God. So we began to declare a word from God. A few months later, she goes back to the doctor. Her iron levels are back to normal. Her thyroid levels are back to normal. Why? Because there's power in the word of God in your mouth. There's power. Recently in our church, we did a series out of The Fourth Dimension, a book by Dr. Yongyi Cho. Seoul, Korea became the largest church in the world. 1 million people, all right? That's a big church. I had the opportunity to visit this church. And Dr. Cho would teach his people the principles of how to create, how to effectively pray. Not just to pray to say that I prayed and ticked the box, but how to pray and create, how to pray and partner with God. And so one of the stories that he told was about a lady who came to him. And his daughter, her daughter, was actually rebelling against God, was not in church, was sleeping around with her son's friends and her husband's friends, was bringing a tremendous amount of shame on the family. And the mother was beside herself, as you can imagine, going, how can we turn this around? What can we do? And kind of praying, God, can you just strike her? God, can you take her out? She comes to visit Dr. Cho, and he has the take another look conversation, have another look. He's like, how do you see your daughter? And she described her. She's like a prostitute. I just see her. She's an embarrassment. She's a shame to our family. And Dr. Cho said, you need to change your perspective of her. He said, you need to see her through the cross. You need to see her through the blood of Jesus Christ. You need to see her forgiven. You need to see her cleansed. You need to see her on the other side of an encounter with Jesus. And you need to lock that picture in. Yeah, you've got all these facts going on, but nothing's going to change if something doesn't change in your heart and your mind and your confession. So he just said to her, can you see her? Close your eyes. Can you see her the other side of the cross, cleansed and right with God? The mother goes, I can see it. She's got tears streaming down her face. He said, well, that's what I want you to go and pray. Go away and pray that. Go away and see that. So the mother goes away and changes her prayer life based on a new picture of what she's moving towards. So she begins to pray. And then one Saturday night, the daughter is sleeping around. She's at a hotel with somebody. She wakes up completely convicted, like feels guilty, feels yuck, and she makes a decision. She's going to go home where she's expecting to be rejected and judged like she has been every time she's connected with her family. And decides that if that happens again, she's going to take her own life. She goes home early on this Sunday morning. It is now, it's late on Saturday night, early Sunday morning. The mother meets her at the door, and as soon as mum sees her, a big smile, a big hug. She's been seeing her through her prayer the other side of the cross. She sees her transformed. She doesn't see a broken, broken backsliding girl. And she hugs her. The girl falls into her arms. She's amazed at the love. And the love that's now in the mum, plus the prayers, melts her heart. She goes to church with her that morning, gives her life to Christ. She meets a man in that church. She gets right with God, gets restored, meets a man, gets married, has kids, goes on to become one of the key elders in this church in Korea. Why? Because somebody had another look. I'm wondering this morning, I feel like one of the things that God's encouraged me to talk to you today about, to encourage some parents with some prodigals. Parents who are seeing your kids and wondering when and how and why they're going to return to God. Our middle son, Mitch, has grown up in the house of God, always loved us, but he had a few years where I would say he was building his testimony. Okay, come on. Who knows what I mean when I say building your testimony? Who had a few years building your testimony? Oh, come on. Now there's a half of the Spirit of God's in here. No lying right now. Who had a few years building your testimony? Come on. All right. All right. And so he had a few years. It may have involved getting some encounters with the police. It may have involved court cases, and it may have involved newspaper articles that forced him to tell us that things were going on that weren't good. We knew they weren't good. We knew there was just a lot of bad stuff going on in his world. We just kept loving him, and he actually would keep coming to church. He kind of liked church, but he was distant from God. And so we made this choice. God gave us a scripture, and the scripture was, he will not turn away from God to his own destruction, but he's a faithful one whose soul will be saved. And Danielle and I would hold hands most days, and we would just speak that scripture over him. Because remember, the promise of God is its potential until it gets into your mouth. But when it gets into your mouth and mixed with faith in your heart, that's when it becomes creative. And so we're seeing him. And fortunately, I'd read these kind of stories, so we're loving him. I mean, so tempted to play the role of the Holy Spirit. Like, you know how the Holy Spirit convicts people? I'm like, oh, I could do such a good job at that if you would just let me. Come on, God. And so I've tried to pray, be that, but we decided, no, we're going to love him, encourage him, speak life over him, speak calling over him. But at the same time, we're going to pray. I actually prayed a few times, God, do whatever it takes. And sometimes when God does whatever it takes to get someone's attention, it's not pretty. There might have been a few motorbike accidents. There might have been a few moments where a lot of skin was taken off his butt. And in fact, I told him that I prayed that prayer the first time. Said, mate, Mitch, I'm praying that God will do whatever it takes to get your attention because he's got such great plans for you and you're living a life way beneath what God wants you to do. So he has, and he's like, well, I don't really like you praying that prayer. That's not very nice. So the next time something happened, this is what he said. Did you pray that do whatever it takes prayer again? I'm like, yeah. And he goes, stop it. Don't pray that anymore. All right? I'm really angry about that. And I'm like, okay, well, this is, you know, when Jonah ran away from God? God sent storms into his life to get his attention. I believe God uses storms and things go wrong when you're running away from God, not because he doesn't like you, but because he's trying to get your attention. Bible, I think it's... C.S. Lewis said this, that pain is God's greatest megaphone to speak to people. So we had this, we're praying, he's rebelling, and then he is the audible voice of God in his room. one evening. He's just in his room and he hears God say his name. And he thought it was one of us, but we weren't there. God said his name again. So God's, when you're praying, there's more going on in the spirit realm than you can possibly imagine. Some of you are this far from a breakthrough. Just keep persisting. Just keep declaring. Just keep believing. Just keep worshiping. You're that far. If you could see what was happening in the spirit realm right now, around your prodigal, around your family, around your business, around your health, around your finances, if you could see how close you are. So many people get close and then they back off and like, oh. Bible's very clear that God will reap what we sow if we don't grow weary and lose heart. I'm here to tell some parents of prodigals, don't grow weary and lose heart. Stay on the front foot. Stay declaring. I'm here to tell somebody who's been praying for 40 years for a loved one. Maybe it's a parent. Don't give up. Don't grow weary. Your breakthrough is this close. We had this moment, and so with Mitchell, after his number of years in the wilderness, comes to church with his girlfriend. He had a few during that time. He came with the best one, fortunately, who he later married. Comes to church with her. They sit in the back row. Preacher tells a story. At the end of the service, they both put their hand up. Come back to Christ. It's her first time in a church like ours. It's very similar to this. She comes up the front. The pastor prays for her. She falls over. Now, she's not never been to church. So she's not doing a courtesy fall. She's doing the real deal. She's been, you know what, anyway, she's been hit by, she had for a number of years chronic fatigue, could barely get up and have energy. And in a moment of her salvation, she got set free, got healed in a moment. I want to encourage some people today that there are moments that are coming for you if you don't grow weary, if you don't lose heart. There's breakthrough coming. So this is what we're going to do. I'm going to ask if the whole band can come up. And first of all, I just want to, let's all stand together right now. Particularly if you've got some prodigals in your family, I just want you to raise both hands in the air and we're going to believe God together. The Lord told me last night to believe and to put faith in people for your kids to come back to Christ. The prodigal might be your brother or your sister. Come on, the prodigal might be your dad, your mum. Prodigal could be your son, your daughter, your grandkids. But right now, come on, enjoy. There's a move of God coming for prodigals. There's a move of God. So Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I join my faith with every person in the room with their hands raised right now. And we declare over the sons and the daughters, the brothers and the sisters, the mothers and the fathers, Lord, they are not ones who will turn away to their own destruction. Lord, but they are righteous, faithful ones whose souls will be saved. Lord, we determine today to see them through the cross. We determine today to see them through the blood of Jesus Christ. We determine today to see them restored, on fire for God. We see them in the house of God with tears streaming down their face as they worship you. We see them in the house of God. We see them in friendship groups. We see them in youth group. We see them on the altar, God. We see them at the door conference. Lord, we see them at men's conference. We see the power of God moving in their lives. Today, we declare to every demon from hell that's harassing these ones, get your hands off in the name of Jesus. We take authority right now and say, loose them today. Loose them out of darkness. Loose them out of control. Loose them out of anxiety. Loose them out of deception. Loose them, we pray, right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Come on, let's begin. I want us just to pray in tongues together for 1 minute. 1 minute for that. Come on. If not for your family, for somebody else's family. Let's believe God right now. Rosha rabo robo raba, robo rabo robo raba, rosa, robo rabo robo rebe rebo robo raba. We're believing you, God. We're believing you, God. Welcome home. You belong in the house of God.